Matt, what's on your mind?
So, Gary and EJ, to your point, I played the band for 11 years, and we submitted three songs to the WKQX Hometown album, number two, under different names, and we won twice. It was pretty amazing. So we had some really good success. Played the Park Blast, played the Uptown Theater, but to this day, none of us talked to one another. We would be on the road, and there would be two guys in the front and three guys in the back, and the three guys would be talking about the two guys in the front, and the two guys would be talking about the three.
What was the main friction?
It's just everybody had their own idea, and the bass player came in. I'm the drummer. He hated me. He wanted a different drummer, so there was tension all the time between us two. And then there was all this political stuff. I mean, when I got into corporate America, it was just the same stuff all over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you doing Stonehenge tonight? Stonehenge, are we doing that tonight? I don't know why guys can't get along when they work together.
Just leave a long space there.
Fill it in.
Two, three.
We would get to the hotel, and the lead guitarist would always just jump on the bed and say, "I'm sleeping here."
Oh, here we go.
And it was every time. Yeah. When it's like that,
because you had how many guys in this band?
Five.
And you didn't have separate hotel rooms?
Oh, no.
Yeah. That could do it.
We lived the life.
I'll bet. Did you make any money doing this?
We didn't make any money, but it was one of the best things that ever happened. But still, the friendships just splintered. It's over.
But in the case of these supergroups, you're making a fortune. You're not going to see each other every day like most of us have to go to an office and see the same people every day. So you do a tour for 3 to 6 months, bank it, and then you don't have to see each other for a year or two.
They don't have to stay in the same bus. They don't have to stay in the same hotel.
Right.
You can see each other when you walk on stage.
That's the part I couldn't get.
They're doing now.
Yeah. But
they get in their separate limos. They come out flying different on their private jets. They go on stage, they sing, and they leave.
Okay, I saw Simon and Garfunkel the last time they toured. Paul Simon did not look at Art Garfunkel until the last song of the show. He happened to turn around and gave a slight smile. And guys, I kept looking. As the first two or three songs, I go, Paul Simon is not looking at Art Garfunkel. And Art kept trying to get Paul's attention.
Shivel yelled, "Look at him! Look at him, you mother! Look at him for mother and child reunion, you mother!"
Look at Buddy Carlos. He just burned out from Cheap Trick. Yeah.
Well, I can understand when you're 35, 40 years. But again, if you can turn that faucet on with the cash coming out, you don't have to see each other after the tour for a while and just count the money and then try to regroup. And it's not like I said, the 9 to 5 that all of us have to do.
And they don't even have to do sound checks anymore. They know, you know what I mean? You could get, right. Don't even have to see each other for a sound check. Literally, when you walk on the stage for 2.5 hours, then you walk off the other side.
Have you seen that Eagles documentary that's playing on cable?
The History of the Eagles.
The History of the Eagles.
Absolutely.
They have a lot of that in this where...
Right.
What's his name? Glenn Frey almost got into it on stage with Felder. With Felder.
Yeah.
Because Felder didn't want to sing which song.
No, that was a whole different thing. That was Andy Meisner.
Oh, Meisner, yeah.
But on stage, he was yelling at Felder because they went to a benefit for Alan Cranston. And he said, this was a benefit show. It was a senator at the time, you know, environmental kind of thing. And Felder didn't want to do the benefit because he didn't care about politics. And so Alan Cranston came by and said, "Thank you for performing." And Felder goes, "Whatever."
Yeah.
And so Fry was way into it. And he was mad at Felder how he dissed Alan Cranston that they was up on stage. And while they're playing songs, they're like, "I am going to beat the hell out of you when we get done." "Oh, yeah? I bet you won't." And they have all this on the soundboard.
Yeah.
And he runs off stage, and then Randy Meisner wouldn't do Take It to the Limit.
Yeah,
so
right.
Apparently he did that night by not doing it because he was no longer in the band.
Yeah.
Because people would go nuts when he hit that high note, and he didn't want to do it. His one moment there to show how great his voice is, he didn't want to do it. There it is.
Hey.
Good morning.
And then Felder got kicked out again when the reunion happened because Fry and Henley said, "Well, we'll get together, but just so you know, we're making more money than the rest of you.
Yeah.
Because it's our band.
And Joe Walsh and Timothy B. Schmidt went along with that because Fry and Henley wrote most of the hits, right?
And regardless, you know what? 5% of $800 million is still a good price tag to come
home with.
That's
why Walsh and Schmidt went, that's fine. We're still good. We're in the band, making money.
And now Felder's...
Back in the 80s, you played in one band. You never played in another band. Drummers now play in all these different bands. Bass players, they're playing multiple bands. It never was that way. It was like you were on a team.
It's like athletics, where you had some loyalty to that team or city, and now everybody just goes where they feel they can make the most dough, and doesn't matter. There's no loyalty.
A bunch of hooers.
Bunch of hooers.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right. 312-521-8600. Pat is on the blower. Hey, Pat.
Hello, Gary. Happy Wednesday.
My word.
Hey, Gary, I wanted to tell you I went to see Kansas a couple weeks ago at the Indiana State Fair. And I didn't know this at the time, but Steve Walsh, their lead singer, that was his next-to-last concert. He played one more night in Iowa the next night, and he left the band probably for good. They're getting old now.
And how did they perform the night you saw them?
Oh, they were great. They were just great. Oh, I'm sorry.
People should know Pat is a Tom Skilling impersonator. My word.
I've always loved Kansas, but I've only seen them three times in recent years. In fact, I saw them in Cincinnati probably 4 or 5 years ago, and they were okay, but Steve Walsh, the lead singer and keyboard player, acted like he could care less to be there that night. But he was, like, on fire this night, and I guess I know why, because he was only doing two more shows. And they've already hired a new singer that they're going back out on tour, like, mid-September, and they've already got another new singer. In fact, he's from Chicago area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I forget what his name is, but if you look it up, he's from Chicago, and I think he played with, he played with Shooting Star. Do you remember that man, Shooting Star?
Yeah.
Although he was probably with them, like, in the last few years probably there's no band members left for them either.
What's the lead singer's name, the former lead singer?
Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh.
He also played keyboards.
Steve Walsh can now say, I'm not in Kansas anymore. He's the only guy, and these other guys are the only ones that can use that line. They have it mean something else. I'm not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When he gets off the bus.
He tells that to Jeff Porcaro.
Right, you go see one of the guys from Toto. I'm not in Kansas anymore. I don't know if you've heard. By the way, Pat, the correct way to say that would be he couldn't care less. Yes, you said he could care less. It's he could not care less.
My bad. ATM.
Right. You got that. Now, Tom would go. That's if you're doing your impersonation, Tom would go ATM machine.
Grab your legs.
You want to let out a little Skilling while you're here?
Well, Gary, when me and Jim get together, all we do is laugh and laugh.
My word. Good Wednesday afternoon to you.
But they do still have their original lead guitarist, the guy that has the patch on his eye,
that's good.
And the lead drummer.
The lead drummer, as opposed to the second drummer?
That was stupid.
My word, right. I'm really screwing up. Well, you revealed last week that you're an alcoholic, right?
Did I do that? I forget.
All right. Good one. Good stuff.
Well, you know what? I don't really like that term. I'd rather use, I just like to drink.
All right. That's fine. Just don't drive.
You know why I don't like that? Because I know a family member and a friend that they still call themselves that, and they haven't had a drink in 20 years. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to identify myself like that if I hadn't had a drink in 20 years.
Well, that's what they do. They are always former alcoholics. That's what
they
say.
But they use it like they still are, you know?
I know, but that's the way they, I don't know, some psychological thing where they have to say that. It kind of keeps them in line.
Like a badge of honor.
Something. Yeah. Something. All right. Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
All right, Gary.
It was CSNNY in 1974. That's right. Neil Young joined them.
Yeah.
That's why it was a big concert deal.
Oh, that was the huge reunion?
Because they hadn't played together in a long time. Saw them in 2000 in Vegas, where I ran into Robin Williams. according to this text at 312-521-8600. I have to go back to the Emmys for just a second. I made this comment yesterday about how they did this special homage to Robin Williams. Billy Crystal came out. They showed clips. Billy gave a little speech. And I felt like the people that had died this year also, it was an important group of actors, and they all accomplished a lot. And I forgot to mention the person that I thought should have gotten a nice tribute, Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve that kind of treatment. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Harold Ramis, just for Caddyshack, the man should be honored. And they just did that thing for Robin because he had just died, because Crystal was available, and he's a favorite at these award shows.
Well, here's the thing now. I mean, I'm wondering how, you know, don't forget now, this is the Emmys, so this is television. So Harold Ramis was on SCTV, but you're talking about movies, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters,
okay,
Animal House.
But they put his picture up there.
Oh, I understand that, but in a weird way, now Robin Williams was on Mork, which was a huge, you know, so they're, I mean, I don't know.
Harold Ramis directed an episode of The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
So he's dabbled in television.
Believe me, I'm not denying. I'm just trying to think of their weird way to justify it.
But, okay, take Harold off the table. The other people that they showed, James Garner,
right,
doesn't
James
deserve
Garner. He had a 50-year
special
career.
Moment.
He had a 50-year career. He was still acting a couple years ago.
I think I'm right on this one. Why do you pull out Robin Williams of that group and give him 5 minutes when everybody else had incredible careers too?
And if you're going to talk about a tragic loss, Harold Ramis, tragic loss. He was young. He was the same age as Robin Williams. And he died of natural causes.
Yes. Well, natural if you throw that, whatever that disease.
Well, he had a disease. My point is he didn't kill himself.
No, I understand. That's what I said yesterday, too. Maybe if Tubby Bibble had fewer garlic butter fries, he wouldn't look like the whale that Scott Stantis portrayed him as being. Well, you might want to take that to heart.
Well, I didn't get him. I haven't had him this year. I haven't gone out there.
All right. You mentioned that you would just like to go out.
I would like to
have
the garlic butter fries are so good there. Oh.
Can you please lose that ketchup on your hot dog promo? Why do I want to listen to that? I filed a grievance. Now, the guy who did that, Dan, I really like him. He's a nice guy. But the hot dog on the ketchup thing, or the ketchup on the hot dog, however you put it in there, it's wrong. I asked Duffy, because he was gone for a few days, to pull that one. And then when I just heard it, I said to Creef, I thought we X'd that one. Can you get rid of that one? I'm not liking it.
I can't get rid of it myself, but I'll mention
right. Can you call somebody who can?
I will.
Make things happen.
Yeah, show me what you got, Keith. You know you're on probation. I told you you're on probation, so it's not a surprise. All right, 312-521-8600. Text and phone number, that's what it is. I know I've been mocked for my ideas over the years. I resurrected that one that I mentioned last summer about putting pyramids in Gary, Indiana as a tourist attraction. And you know I've had this one for years about taking these decommissioned mailboxes and making them homeless shelters. And you laughed. And then I picked this up today. It rains a whopping 200 days out of the year in Vancouver, which isn't terrible if you have a cozy pair of galoshes and a warm, dry sofa to curl up on every evening. But what if you're homeless and spending the night sleeping on an exposed bus bench? That's where some tricked-out transit seats are helping to save the day. Equipped with a pop-up roof, the benches keep residents of the Canadian city with no place to go from getting drenched.
Okay.
It's got a pop-up roof.
That's
so, you know, people sleep on benches all over the city of Chicago,
right,
too. So this thing flips up, and at least you can lie underneath that.
That's a nice idea.
So that's in the same family as...
Oh, you're connecting this?
Oh, yeah. So
you're connecting a suitable, acceptable
it's
mode
a park.
Of...
Bench.
It's a bench. It's not a mailbox.
You can put a couple of these mailboxes together and have a door that opens and get in there when it's cold or rainy. It's better than being out on the concrete.
You got to be a contortionist to fit in there.
Put two together. But they're just going to either throw these things in a landfill or they'll be sitting and rusting somewhere. in a junkyard.
Now, that was a couple years ago.
It's been when I started here. Five and a half years ago.
Now, yeah. Do you think, because I remember there was a picture, the story, this is where you came up with the idea. There was a picture and a story about that they were getting rid of all these decommissioned. I wonder if they, in 4 or 5 years now, have they gotten rid of them? Do they even exist? These old.
Yeah, they're somewhere already in. Yeah, they've been.
But they haven't been destroyed?
I don't think so. I'm just wondering. I don't
after
know where
5 years.
But.
That's what I'm
What are you going to do with them? Thank you.
Because I just saw a news story yesterday that England may be getting rid of their red telephone booths.
Because nobody's using them.
Because nobody uses them, and they're getting old, and they're getting rusty, and they're not getting the use anymore because everybody's using cellular phones. It's like this iconic thing of England may be gone.
All right. How about you have the telephone booth from England attached to the mailbox.
Nice. So
they use those shipping containers. They make apartments out of them.
Now, see, that would be cool because then you could have like a little room, a little extra room. You can move from
something
one room
there
to another. And that would look cool. Red and blue would look cool.
If you're dumping promos, get rid of the one that says FM stands for freeform.
Baby.
Doesn't make any sense.
Freeform.
Well, I think the attitude is there are no restrictions broadcasting on the internet like there are on commercial radio. So there is some freeform going on here. And it is not the format that you're used to listening to AM and FM. It's a lot looser than that. I think you would agree on that. So is that the one that Jimmy Shorts does?
I believe, yeah. He goes, free form, baby.
Isn't the TV coverage of the Little League team too much? If the WNBA, our team, is in the semifinals, if they go that far, will they get this kind of treatment?
I think now this has set a new precedent. Everybody has to get this treatment.
It's the adage, you get a ribbon, even though you came in eighth place, you get a ribbon. Now, they came in second place, but they were the United States champions.
I mean, and that's true, but ultimately they did lose.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. They did not win. They came in second. Yes, they were the American.
I'm going to be keeping an eye on this WNBA thing, and if the Chicago Sky goes all the way or comes in second, let's have some kind of parade.
I mean, I think part of it is that they're 12 years old, too, though.
Okay.
So,
G-Man, I was outside your office window at 2 today. Did you see me with signage? Fiddler downtown. So I'm sitting at my desk, and somebody's tapping on the window. Now, there's a scrim where I can see out, but they can't see
so
in.
So is it that dark that they can't see?
You cannot see inside.
Because you could easily
see
out. I know.
It's like a two-way mirror.
Wow. I didn't know that they couldn't see in that much.
And he was holding up something, and just when I got up to get up closer to see if I could read it, he left. So Fiddler downtown, I don't know what the sign was. But that was the first time somebody identified my office and tried to communicate. What we have here was a failure to communicate.
He left too early. Because that used to happen all the time. People would come by the window downstairs.
Well,
always have a
showcase studio. That's what
sign.
It's for.
I mean, that's how we met Johnny.
Johnny from Michigan, yes.
Johnny put a sign that said, my father was Dwight Eisenhower's dentist.
And that's how that whole relationship started. I would love to buy an old mailbox and use it for a place for my mailman to deliver my stuff.
That would be cool. Like if you put that on your front lawn.
And just put the mail in that.
Yeah. Oh, how cool would that be?
Well, if they just let these things sit up there and rust on our dime, because that's what's probably happening.
Now, that would be cool. That's a good
idea. We've got to find out where those mailboxes are and how many of them are out there that they don't use anymore.
By now, they might have scrapped them.
Was surprised to see that Jewel had Halloween candy today.
Wow. Well.
No. Halloween is now on full Monty push because we're into the latter days of August.
Yeah.
They got nothing really between now and Halloween, so they need to get you to start spending on something. And that's what they're going to do.
But, I mean, any candy that you may pretend that you're buying for Halloween, you will eat long before Halloween
right.
comes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Like I said, that Noel dropped off those bags of candy to give to Duffy because he lets people come into his studio and take candy, but almost nobody replaces it. So I put it in my drawer, and every 15 minutes, open the drawer, they're the bite size.
That's the real smaller.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you think, well, this can't hurt. Yeah. But when they're there,
have 15 of them.
You're going to eat them.
It's a whole box.
So I brought some of it up to Duffy today. I can't have them on my desk.
Yeah, the other day we went to Menards, and for some reason Menards now has more food than they do hardware equipment.
They do?
Oh, it's unbelievable. There's the whole beginning, the whole opening of Menards is a grocery store when you walk in. It's unbelievable. So there was this candy aisle, and so my wife was walking through, and she thought that, well, they would just have off brands because it's Menards. Well, they had
name
some
brands.
They had amazing name brands for great prices. So suddenly she's like, well, wait a minute. So she grabbed this bag. We didn't buy it.
Just grabbed it, put it under your shirt?
To look at it. No, but it was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and they were these extra mini ones, like real mini.
Bite size.
Like smaller than the bite. Like they had. No, they don't even have, they're so small they can't even put the gold wrapper on them. They have no wrapper.
So they're all just in a bag.
But they're all in a bag, and I'm like, I said, do you know how fast you'd eat that bag?
That's why they're doing that, because they know when they put them all in a bag unwrapped.
Unwrapped.
Well, you don't have to unwrap anything. You're right there.
I said, forget about it. I said, that if you put that in a jar, that will be gone by tomorrow.
In fact, you could buy them and then sell them as Lucy's in the neighborhoods.
For a penny.
Ken.
Hey, guys. You're talking about the TV coverage for the Little League team here. And I was wondering, I don't know if you watched the news at night or not, but in that week period when they were in the finals and then they were going to play against Korea, they were not reporting on the TV news about gang shootings. And I'm just wondering if they were all putting the guns down and watching too, or if there's any statistics, or if the news people just decided to publicize something positive once, rather than always talking about the shootings. But I found it interesting that there weren't a lot of shootings being talked about during that time frame.
I did hear of some, but you're right. They weren't as many as we're used to. So that might be true.
It's such a great example. I know they're all African-American and everything, and it's great. But, what a positive. These guys, and it's so sad because so many of these kids live in those really horrible neighborhoods. And even for them trying to walk to the ballpark is like, running through a maze in some war zone. So it would be great if these guys, these knuckleheads, would just finally realize that you could do something positive rather than getting on the news because you had a gun. And just an observation.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said, Ken. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Well, I have an idea for the gangs. You take that energy and you start selling your clothing and your bling, because you go to Blues Fest and 98% of the audience is white kids from Arlington Heights. So they love the hip-hop and all that stuff. Right. So they like to wear your stuff and think they're hip-hop.
They got the giant hoodies, the saggy pants.
Yeah, the day-glow vest like you're a traffic cop or something. That's a fashion item.
The knit cap.
You got people that are working for you, so you're organized, and you get them into some kind of factory and make that stuff, because I assume that the drive of all these gangs is financial. And this would probably give you a lot more money, and then you'd live past the age of 32.
I wonder if it is all money, or is it this sense of camaraderie and this...
That's a part of it, but they're out there making money, because the reason a lot of these young kids get in a gang is because they can't get a job, they have no family structure or whatever that is, and this gang will give them some money. You hear these stories... They look at these NBA stars and these NFL stars and their nice cars and stuff, and they want that.
Right.
But they know to get it is almost impossible, so they get some money thrown at them by a gang, and it's got to be financial. That's got to be the drive. Why else would you be doing this?
Yeah.
And the structure of, hey, at least these guys give me a little something-something.
But when you're seeing these 15-year-olds and teenagers who are being at least, because very few of them are getting caught, but they're sort of being accused of spraying these drive-by shootings and stuff. I mean, so in other words, are 14 and 15-year-olds actually doing gang business?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and younger. I'll bet you have some younger guys in there. Whew. I told you that scary moment leaving the stadium once.
Oh.
Yeah. That 9-year-old. He couldn't have been more than 9. Scared the bejesus out of me. I want you to give her...
Oh.
So I'm like, whoa, they were 9. It was 11 o'clock at night. they have street smarts like that because, like I said, if they don't have the structure, they're out there, and they have the street smart of a 40-year-old.
I wonder if, because today at the thing at Millennium, they had Kenny Williams and Theo Epstein, and I wonder not only in Chicago, but around Major League Baseball should really jump on this, and they should inject some major money into the little leagues to start and somehow, I mean, if this could be, if you're going to try to, because now is the tough part. Now is the takeaway. Okay, what now? What happens? They've shown us this great example, but now what happens tomorrow and next year? And so this has to be built upon, and it's only going to take people with money to inject into these kind of programs. So hopefully, because, I mean, there was the two major league teams in town being represented. So hopefully this doesn't go for naught.
When I saw that statistic that only 8% of MLB players are African American, I was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
But that's what's happened. It's gone down over the years because they're not introduced to the sport when they're young because they can't afford it. The equipment is too expensive or whatever, but you're right.
Yeah.
MLB, number one, right now they need to get involved with these kids all over the country, and ALS, because your guy, Lou Gehrig, is your guy.
The main person.
If you don't jump on this with all the bucket stuff, that's your bucket list right there. Take over with this and start getting involved. I don't know, maybe they are and just don't want to have the publicity. I doubt it.
Oh, no. Why would you? Why that would be something to crow about.
75 years. It's the 75th anniversary of Lou Gehrig making that speech, and this is right in their wheelhouse. What's going on? Nothing.
Nothing.
That I've heard of. I mean, you could do, in one game, you could have, before the game or after the game, you could have people come out on the field or whatever and make a whole promotion out of it.
Remember when, I don't know if they still do it, but remember even in movie theaters where they would pass a cup?
For charities, yeah.
Now, so could you imagine if that happened at every ballpark?
You could have some company could sponsor a bucket,
right,
you could take home or whatever, and whatever.
How cool would it be? Remember when people did the wave from section to section? Let's see how the bucket, you know, pass the bucket, and the bucket starts at one end of the field, and throughout the game or an inning, the bucket gets passed to the other side. And make a game out of it or something, and
some
see
people,
how fast it would take for the bucket to get there and get filled.
Some people get paid a lot of money to come up with these ideas for these teams. What am I doing here giving them for free? You got to pay for that. But it seems like a slam dunk. That's their night. It's a slam dunk night. Or NBA, slam dunk night.
Slam dunk.
We can put confetti in the buckets because we don't want to get the court warped and wet. And then have Derrick Rose come out and slip, and then he's done again.
And especially when you see baseball, like you're saying with ALS, so baseball has embraced the breast cancer thing. They have pink bats, pink uniforms.
They got that going.
And yet they don't embrace this one that is identified with baseball, not because of the sport itself, but because of somebody prominent who had it.
Well, maybe they're formulating that because it's all so new.
Well, like I said, they got a new commissioner will be starting in January, so who knows?
Okay. 312-521-8600. Fiddler Downtown texted me back on what his note said. It was a reference to my incense burning.
Oh, what did he say? Does he tell you what he said?
Yeah. All right, where is it now? Signage said, "Mr. Moron, I smell incense," or is it Bibble's ass?
Oh, jeez.
That's nice.
Oh, my.
Hey, my God.
Gosh, where does that come
from?
We're
about three blocks from a church.
Fiddler.
What are you doing here?
Fiddler Schmidler.
Allison Rosati was giddy over the crowds for the parade. It was only a few people. Now, the parade route wasn't as populated as Millennium Park was.
Millennium
packed.
Was jammed, but I was surprised because they did have all those barricades up.
Not a lot of people doing that.
And I saw a few people here and there. It wasn't jammed. The entire route was not jammed, which kind of got me scared about when they were going to get to the final destination, but probably so many people went downtown.
Yeah, that's where they all collected.
And then you probably just had people from downtown walking around going, hey, what's going on? Because it was jammed. Millennium Park was jammed.
Yeah, that was a lot of coverage.
It was a long route. I mean, it was 50. I mean, you know, I understand why they were doing it from their park to downtown, but that's a lot to ask for a city to come out and jam 15 miles of parade route. I mean, on a weekday.
The Blackhawks went from the United Center to Grant Park, and that thing was packed.
Yeah, but that's 5 miles,
maybe.
Yeah, and it's and today was a weekday. I went, if you did this on a Saturday, maybe you'd have more people. But that's a lot to ask of.
They didn't win all of it. That's what we have to remember. Not that that's a bad thing, because they did a good thing altogether. But I wonder if it would have been any different. I don't know what else we could have done.
No.
If they had won the whole thing, we've given them as much as we can as a celebration.
Well. As you've said many times, though, this was a perfect thing. A, it's the dog days of summer. B, from a political standpoint, there's no way the state or the city leaders are not going to jump on this when they are in an election year.
They jumped.
You got Quinn, and that's why I couldn't believe it today. Like I said, the mayor or the coach of the team said, Pat Quinn is my best friend. And I was like, wow, talk about an endorsement.
Anything
now.
You need, Daryl, call me on the Q line.
I mean, that was a commercial there.
And you better call me soon, because I don't know if I'm going to get reelected.
Yeah, he's only got 2 free months left.
All major league teams donate to local little leagues. Have you ever heard of White Sox Charities?
Yeah, but I'm talking about there's a difference between donation and major donation. And
why are there so few African-American players if they're so involved?
Yeah, I'm talking about a major effort here. They need to, they're not doing a good enough job. They need to up the ante then.
Where's Leslie?
She's probably on old media.
No, but she would be off. Our deal here with her is she's in.
Well, I know they just switched.
From,
you know,
successful to. No,
I think
she comes in so she can get over there.
I know. I don't know.
And
is she in there?
She would be going back over there at this time.
Can you see Leslie, Keith? No.
Why are they running so late?
I don't know.
All right. Because, you know, this thing runs like a clock.
Free form, baby.
A Swiss timepiece.
I was wondering. It was about 20 after 5. I'm like, well, where is she?
All right. I'm going to play the Ebola awareness song. Before 7 o'clock. I know you want to hear it. I'm getting a lot of requests.
Is that the one that says, don't touch your friends?
You have that song? The Ebola awareness song?
Is this a different
You
one?
Thought Weird Al came up with some oddities. This is legit.
Is this
These
a,
two guys
a different one or the one
are
you
from
played?
That area that has been hit by Ebola and decided we're going to get a song together about it. So tell me when you have that, Kiefer.
Ebola! Ebola is a...
Don't touch your friend.
Don't touch him. No, it is something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola is a...
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing. No, it is something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola is a...
Don't touch your friend.
Don't touch him. No, it is something
Don't
dangerous.
Don't touch your friend.
Ebola.
I thought that when those two Americans came back to Atlanta and then they were released, I was wondering how many of their friends are going to come and visit. I'll come over in a couple of months. I'll make sure this is tight.
Yeah.
I know they say you're not contagious anymore, but come on.
I'll just send some flowers.
Right. I know you're tired and you're busy.
Or you come over with a hazmat uniform on.
Leslie, where were you? I mean, you blew through your break there.
Old media.
Sorry. Yeah, old media.
Well, aren't
because
you...
of the game, it's just weird at the bottom because we had to.
That's what she said.
Yeah, yuck.
Cut off your slossin'. When I go to L.A. and I rent a car and I'm coming down La Cienega, there's the slossin'
right,
cutoff. And I know that's an old Carson joke, but I still...
You have to laugh.
Laugh when I go, there's the slossin' cutoff. Cut off your slossin'.
Did you go to beautiful downtown Burbank right after that and have a laughing moment?
You'd have a pink dog, no?
No.
Have you ever had one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay. It's not...
It's
crazy.
Just the building is iconic.
It's kind of a shady area.
Oh, well. We're used to that here.
And this is State Street, home of the famous Chicago Theater. and the celebrated department store, which was founded about 80 years ago by Marshall Field.
Oiling the Bobcat on .fm. Says on this text, in that Ebola song, there is a line that says, it's in your rear end. Is that true? And what do you rhyme with that? I didn't hear the whole song.
I just heard.
I'm guessing they mean where he says, don't touch your friend.
Oh, that rhymes. Friend and end, yeah.
Well, I'm being delicate. It's not rear end.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know what you rhyme with.
Maybe that's the remix.
That's for radio play.
Yeah.
The where they couldn't
radio
say that.
Edit.
Ebola and Hola?
that could be too.
Don't touch your friends. Don't touch your friends.
All right, you can text me at 312-521-8600. Hey, something good has come out for one of the victims of the Boston bombing. This is how fate plays its hand. Very special relationship has emerged from the Boston Marathon bombing. A marriage between a victim and the nurse who cared for him. James Costello was a bystander at the race, was caught in the midst of the bomb's blast, suffered severe wounds, left him facing months of surgery and rehabilitation. He met Krista DiGastano, one of many nurses responsible for his care. The two had a connection that only grew as she helped him through difficult physical therapy. They got married this weekend. At Boston's Hyatt.
Hubba Hubba. She's very pretty.
Oh, you're looking at a picture.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah? I haven't seen the picture.
Yeah.
All right. And
you've seen a picture? Is there a picture?
Baba Shivel gives her a hubba hubba.
That matters.
No, very well, I'm just saying she's a very pretty woman.
He said, she hates when I say this, but I'm actually glad I got blown up.
Oh.
I got her.
Aww.
Well, think about it. I mean, there's no way they meet.
That's true of so many things. Point A, point B, point C don't connect. Everything goes a whole different way.
But even the chance meeting, I mean, they both obviously lived in Boston, but for to come together with that.
Hey, that's how stuff happens.
Because they showed up. Apparently, they had a picture of him. He was one of the survivors that was photographed in the aftermath where his clothes were all blown off and he was kind of walking, stumbling in the street. So he actually had some kind of a high profile himself, and then he met her.
And now they're married.
So I wonder if she was like his nurse at the hospital. Was she his nurse later?
What's the difference?
Well, because it depends on, you know, the proximity. You know, how did she care for him every day?
Was at the rehab hospital.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I mean. So now they were on a daily basis as opposed to a emergency nurse who may have just seen them the first 10 minutes.
Okay, you need to know all those details.
Well,
that
no,
makes
because
a difference.
He's imagining sponge baths.
Yeah, I want to know how.
And
they,
lotion.
Yeah, I'm thinking there had to be a moment there where all of a sudden, like, you know, the hand stayed a little longer and then the eyes met.
All right.
And then they realized that this is more than just patient and caretaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and
it's true.
This is the guy that doesn't want a woman in the room when he's getting some kind of skin tag
well,
burned off.
Did you tie a string on it last night?
I beg your pardon? Well, I was thinking now, because I've noticed, I was thinking, that to me sounds painful.
All right, try it.
No, but they have this thing. I was hesitant because of, you know, I had this one on my eye.
All right, we know all that. We all just want to know if you tied anything up.
No, because on television they have a thing where they have this, as seen on TV stuff, where you can put some stuff on. And it's supposed to get rid of it.
Yeah, just use a clippers.
All right. I was afraid to put it by my eye.
Bob, I want to interrupt Dr. Oz here so I can hear what you have to say.
Hello?
Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought I would mention that Major League Baseball has had for a number of years a program called the RBI program, and it is solely designed for promoting inner-city youth baseball. And if you go to MLBcommunity.org, you can read about it there. But they have invested millions and millions of dollars in the program all across inner city in United States.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Also, Curtis Granderson donated $5 million to University of Illinois Chicago to build a new stadium. And part of the requisite there to get the money was they needed to make the field available to the inner city youth programs a minimum number of dates every year. So Major League Baseball is behind it, definitely behind bringing inner city youth back to the game.
Great. Good to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
And hopefully more players would do that, too. These guys are making $15 million a year. You can't throw a couple of mil in addition to what the Major League Baseball does?
You've thrown down the challenge.
Well, hey.
It's not, this is a text, it's not 8% African American and 92% white. A lot of other backgrounds in there. I didn't say it wasn't. I just said it's 8% African American in the MLB. That's all I said. I didn't say anything about the makeup of the rest of the league. Yeah, there's Asian now and Central American and all kinds of people.
Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in a sight.
It's a melting pot.
Uh-huh.
All right, so everything's hunky-dunky then as far as money flowing. And
I'm just hoping that this isn't just one little flash in the pan, because so often that's what happens. Something cool happens, we all get excited for about 10 minutes, and then we forget.
And somebody, well, in relation to that guy who held the sign up at my office window.
Oh, Fiddler?
And then somebody said, well, interesting, the Shivel can dish it out, but he can't take it when somebody throws something at him. Yeah, well, yeah, you don't know that? He's the Holden Caulfield of Chicago.
Well, I mean, that is an obscene
that is,
phrase.
That is.
That's not even in fun.
That isn't even in the Scott Stantis knife to the back.
I'll actually give Scott Stantis a pass to some extent compared to Fiddler's thing. Did you hear what this sign said?
No.
Leslie doesn't know what it said.
No,
I'm not even going to repeat
it's
it.
Something about comparing the incense being better than Bibble's
behind
Easter.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, where was that coming from?
Right, take it outside, because that's where he was.
That's where he was. I mean, my goodness.
My word.
Man,
what is wrong?
I mean, that's just wrong. That's out of nowhere.
Tuesday. Dan Fedor will be back to
is
talk.
Is it Fedor?
What is it?
Fedor.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Fedor.
Fedor.
Because I thought it was like a fedora.
Okay, yeah. Let me use that as my way to remember.
Yeah.
Fedor will be in on Tuesday, and he'll be bringing a representative from Verizon, and that person will be giving away a phone and some other things that, what is that thing called that you put on the back of your phone? Here it is. It's called a fly grip. It's a device that hooks to the back of your phone, and then you can hold your phone a lot easier than just with the tips of your two fingers, and it usually falls when you're doing that. And then you can set it up like a little picture if you want. Brace it like that.
And you
can
probably talk into it like a speaker then, right?
That.
You laid it down?
If you need to do it that way. But you can do that when it's lying on its back. Then if you want to see something, that angle's a lot better than if it's lying flat. Anyway, it's called the Fly Grip. You'll have some of those to give away and some FM transmitters that plug into your smartphone. And then you can bring the broadcast up on any FM signal in your car right over your car speakers. So that's Tuesday. And then it's the all-new fall season. Starting Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, really?
All-new fall season.
All-new fall season.
Yeah. New lineup.
Uh-oh.
You know how fall works.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Tom Skilling's calendar, fall starts on Monday.
Wow.
That is hard to accept.
I got to go shoe shopping.
Why?
Because it's back to school in fall. You always have to have new shoes for...
Even when you don't go to school?
Right.
Get a pencil box.
Oh, remember the pencil? I used to love getting the pencil box.
The supplies were the best thing. And then when you walked in, oh, God, now I have to do this.
But it was nothing
about supplies.
It's the first day when all of your sharpened pencils are lined up perfectly.
All the erasers aren't used yet.
Just perfect. And then, by the end of that day, wah, wah.
Did you used to buy the individual eraser, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in addition to the one that was on top of your pencil, you bought, like, the little pink eraser.
Gave you something to chew on when you got hungry in the afternoon.
Pencil case, paste.
The story here is about Dan Maurer, who just raised enough money for an operation to get his swollen 100-pound scrotum removed.
Oh.
What the heck?
Started ballooning in his late 20s, continued to swell despite constant exercise. He said several doctors told him to lose weight as a treatment. It wasn't until he watched the TLC documentary about Wesley Warren, the man with the 132-pound scrotum, who died this year after several heart attacks, that he realized he has scrotal lymphedema. He wanted to save his marriage and possibly his own life, decided to meet with the same California doctor who Warren saw to remove the mass between his legs, but he didn't have the money. A local parishioner decided to lend a helping hand. They started a GoFundMe page and contacted media, raising more than $28,000.
Need a helping arm.
He hopes to be able to help others who suffer from the condition after his surgery.
How do they get to be 120 pounds?
Well, how would they not know what that is?
Well, that's what I'm sorry. By the time it reaches 2 pounds.
Yeah. 1 pound.
You would think that somebody would be stepping up and taking care of this. And
I mean,
it seems like it would be a lot less invasive a treatment.
Half a pound.
Take it, yeah.
And they've
when
never,
it's still lemon size.
Yeah, when it's
lemon.
When it's rounding 50.
Yeah, I mean.
And you're heading to 100.
Oh, come on.
Why wouldn't you know, well, this is, go exercise. Come on.
Really?
I mean, when you get past plum stage, it's just, you know.
He plans on having sex with his wife for the first time in 7 years.
Aw.
Could you imagine?
I'm not going to imagine before the operation.
She must have ran out of that room every night. No!
It can be used as a flotation device.
He comes dragging in.
How do you lug that around for more than a day? Because it's not like you put on 100 pounds and it's distributed around your waist.
This is
dragging down between your legs.
A very sensitive area, yeah. You would think, too. So there's got to be an incredible amount of pain.
And what kind of pants are you wearing?
Yeah,
you're not.
And what kind of jock strap if you want to play some sports? Where do you get one?
He's got to be doing sweatpants.
Granny dresses.
Well, that's what that Warren guy did, if you saw any pictures of him.
Because anything with an inseam is, you know. And then where do you wear yourself?
And how do you ride a bike? You can't slip.
Yeah, because usually it's polite to wear yourself to the right, but I mean,
okay. Is it? I had no idea.
That's what I always heard.
Unless you're in Australia, and then it hangs on the left.
All right, I'm not vetting these texts as they come in. I don't have time.
When do you?
They come in. I see them at 7. I don't see them until 3 the next day.
Oh, these are
what?
Later ones.
This is the last one that came in. The Jackie Robinson Foundation announced today that a member of the JRW team will receive a 4-year college scholarship.
Wow.
Nice.
And I'm trying to get Midway renamed JRW.
That would be cool.
You nailed it with that. I mean, just being able to stick with the JRW name.
Right. It would be cool.
ORD to JRW.
If you need to fly from Midway
to O'Hare
for some reason, if you think that's sufficient.
If you're really lazy.
All right, Doc, I got this 100-pound scrotum. What do you recommend? Exercise more.
Yeah, what?
You need
what
to run that thing down.
What kind of doctors is he seeing?
Real doctor.
I never saw anybody gain weight in their scrotum.
Yeah. In their scrotum. Imagine at the health club coming out of the shower.
Oh, he didn't shower.
What?
He didn't shower at the health club.
Okay. You're allowed to stare then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, generally.
Right, you can't put your leg up to do any shaving. No, it's going to drag.
Oh, that would not be a good sight. As I said, for some reason, a lot of guys love to shave naked. Could you imagine that sight by the basin? Wow.
I bet you they give him an extra towel.
You gotta hire a neighbor kid to help you out.
You need a wagon. I mean, heck with a towel.
You can't reach all the way down.
Oh, man.
You can't even do a how's your father.
So your father?
Yeah.
He'll be doing his first how's your father in 7 years.
Oh, man. I just don't see. There has to be some other psychological thing going on.
Is this guy and that other guy the only two that ever had this?
What is
in the entire universe ever?
The medical name for it again?
It
Big
is.
Balls.
All right.
Stop.
Well, it's an AC/DC song.
Scrotal lymphedema. Those are the only two cases ever.
Oh, is that true?
No, I'm asking.
No, I.
Center for Reconstructive Urology talks about.
I mean, the good thing is
scrotal lymphedema.
Good thing is that now it's not in the closet anymore. And we'll start to hear more.
But
people.
This guy.
No, it's in a wagon.
Only knew what it was when he saw this Warren guy on that TLC documentary. That's
and he's
odd.
From United States of USA, huh?
He's from Michigan. Yeah. Is that still in the United
that's
States?
A, I would. It used to be. I could see if it was some third world doctor who would say, yeah, you know what you need is a ground up rhino tusk on that thing. But
no, Michigan.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it?
And how's he supposed to jog?
Holy smokes.
What are you looking at?
I think she just saw a picture.
I just saw some scrotal lymphedema. Wow.
And that's the only.
That, oh, there are lots of people with it. Lots
all right,
of people.
So why would they not know right away?
I have
when
no
it's
idea.
Rounding 10 pounds, that we got something going here, we got to stop
wow.
it.
But how could you even think 10 pounds is justifiable?
Here's where that ice bucket would play. Dump it on that. I think it would at least shrink it for a minute.
Okey schmokles.
I mean, I would say a pound is too much.
Certainly, when you're rounding 50, you got some serious trouble. They made it to 100.
Wow.
And then they decided to go to the doctor. You know, I think this isn't right.
I don't know what that is, but I would exercise more. All right, had a lively discussion about, what's that called again?
Scrotal
lymphedema.
Lymphedema, right?
Lymphedema.
You know my daughter.
Lymphedema. Getting a lot of texts on that one. And that story you had about that Pebbles woman. Is she the same person that was on the Flintstones?
Mm-hmm. All grown up and causing trouble.
She should go to jail for that.
Gee, do you think that's where she got her name from?
Could be.
Wasn't there
and her brother
a,
Bam Bam?
Wasn't there a rapper, like, in one of those...
oh, there was a Pebbles.
Pebbles, like a spin... Somebody was named Pebbles in some female rap group of the 90s.
Like Crazy Eye,
yeah.
Pebbles,
Pebbles,
and
yeah.
Beyonce.
There was definitely a Pebbles.
Perry Pebbles Reed.
Right. What was she in?
I don't know. Hip-hop,
right, this isn't
urban singer, blah.
A poor man's Casey Kasem show.
Ponderous, man.
Oh,
ponderous.
She was TLC's manager.
Oh, Pebbles? Okay.
Does his, does his doctor ask him to turn his head and cough?
No need.
100 pounds.
Wow.
Leslie was nice enough to pass the pictures around. I don't know how you go through one day with that thing that size. I don't know how you get out of bed. How you maneuver.
You don't.
Seriously,
you said,
you almost need someone to help you because otherwise I would imagine at some point you hear a tearing sound.
It's amazing the elasticity of the human body.
It's amazing the stupidity of that guy's first doctor, too.
Yeah, well, any of the doctors.
You had to watch TLC to realize what the hell he had.
Hey, that's me.
I got that.
That's what I've got.
And now he's trying to raise money to get it taken off. What was that surgery cost for that Warren guy?
Oh, it was over $1 million.
Was it?
Yeah, it was some crazy
and
number.
He's only collected, what, $28,000?
And he only was able to do it because a doctor and a series, not one doctor, they needed a team of doctors. They all volunteered their services. He never, that guy, the initial guy who actually passed away from it, had tried for several years to raise money, but ultimately it happened because a team of doctors offered their services because he never would.
That's usually what happens when it's something this extraordinary.
Yeah, because that's not even, I don't even think that's even one operation.
You got to have the cosmetic follow up.
Even to do it itself. I mean, look at the size of those things.
Do they just, I don't even want to get into this.
The original guy that Wesley Warren only raised
$2,000. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it had to be done
Yeah.
pro bono.
No, Bono.
Don't go there.
Now you are.
Don't go
Got
there.
News for you. You're pro Bono all the way. Enjoy. Do we have the opening there, Shizzle? Let's get that out of the way.
Go.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Shake that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, Gary!
Good evening, Morocco and Mundelein. Breaking news. A correctional officer at Cook County Jail,
stocked with every kind of alcohol known to man,
has been accused of bringing alcohol to maximum security inmates in exchange for money.
Well, stop kidding, will you? Make us some drinks. I mean, just press the button back there and mark booze.
Have you seen Shawshank Redemption? You can get anything you want in the slammer.
You sure got a pretty mouth.
Now, please consider my idea. Once again, have a treadmill put in each cell. And the only way you can get electricity is by generating it on your treadmill. If you produce extra electricity, you can buy something off the drink cart.
Always coming up with these great lines. I love them.
You're welcome. Developing story. Speaking of prisoners, Rod Blagojevich sent his wife a love letter for their anniversary. The Sun-Times today has two front pages. The first one has a picture of the JRW players. The second one is a picture of Blago and his wife, Patty, with the headline, Love Rod.
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Even with a comma between love and Rod, Love Rod jumps out at you. JRW parents, please remove that second front page. You don't want a love rod around your kids.
I'm the worst person on earth, and the world is coming to an end.
I think y'all having a good time out there.
I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Super G Streamliner, WGN.FM, Chicago. Hold me. I'm trending.
Why did Patty post this love letter on her Facebook page? And Michael Snead loves the Blagos.
Oh, and
she
the
loves
Ryans.
The Ryans.
Yeah.
And she has somebody else that she likes to write about. But and it's the whole deal here. It's
the whole
like
letter.
I said, it's a they made a second front page to feature Love Rod. Okay.
First of all, people on Facebook share way too much stuff.
That's what I'm thinking. And didn't I read somewhere where she said it's so let's see. It's to help other people?
Yeah.
Help other people what? Stay out of prison?
Well, isn't there sort of a decision coming up soon about him?
And the appeal?
And his appeal. So maybe she's trying to start to get a little PR buzz going about him
by
back in the...
Printing his
so
love letter?
Not forgotten, but yeah, you would think you could do something better than that.
Well, I think they're trying to show what a sensitive sort he is and how he was wrongly accused. And
right, well,
family
he
is
did
decimated.
Get a juicy sentence.
Oh, I
you got to say.
He's a mope. He deserves some jail time, but he didn't
not
deserve
this.
14 years.
No.
I'll give you that.
Because, I mean, in this letter, he says, our nightmare is hopefully over soon. It's like, does he know he still has 10 years at least left to go?
Except they assume
win.
That the appeals...
Well, but that's a big assumption.
Or they've got phone calls into the president,
does
and they're
seem,
hoping that
yeah, well,
he gets a pardon.
Does it seem like it's been 3 years already? I guess if you're there, it seems like it.
I'm sure
but it does seem like it's gone. If it in fact is 3 years, it seems like it's gone by pretty fast.
I do remember the day when the verdict came down, and we were toying with... Remember?
No.
What was
that was when he was going to prison.
Oh, prison. Okay. I knew there was
and
something with it.
Management told me, and this is another management team, not the one that you are enjoying now. They told me, all right, it's your decision if you want to cover whatever he says out in front of his house before they haul him off to the slammer. And I said, he's not going to say anything. He said all of this. And he says the same thing over and over again. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ask my listeners if they want to hear it. And I opened the phones, and over 60% said, don't play it. I said, okay, I'm not playing it. So I said that on the air. 2 minutes later, the program director comes in. You got to play it. You said I could do what I want.
Yeah.
And then as we played it, you could, I'm sure, see management in their office going, he was right, because it's the same old hot air. What I wished I would have done was play Yakety Sax underneath the whole thing.
That changes the tone of every press conference.
It was just all that pontificating that he was famous for. Yeah. That's what I wished I would have done.
I remember they were showing, when was the motorcade? Was it after the verdict came down? They showed his SUV going all the way to his home or something. Remember that all with the helicopter?
That, and they showed it going to the airport.
Right, when he was off to
Colorado. And then when he was on
Colorado.
The flight to Colorado, he's kind of having fun with the passengers.
He's a jovial guy. Couldn't help it.
I don't think he really, at that point, I don't think he fully
grasped.
Appreciated what was happening.
Really?
I think.
What don't you understand when you're on a plane to go to prison? Which part?
I don't think until you actually get in there and they.
Here's what I would have done.
Put you in that little jumpsuit.
If you saw Catch Me If You Can, I'm in the bathroom. I am unbolting the toilet. And as soon as it touches down, I jump through that opening like Leonardo DiCaprio did. And then the next thing the cops know is I'm running down the runway and running somewhere, not to prison. Betty Lauren Maltese and the Dailies are some of the others that she features. Michael Sneed.
Yeah, she does.
She likes
them.
Those.
Yeah, she does love them.
But we haven't heard from Betty in a while.
Hi, Dal.
What's there to hear?
Well, that's it, I guess.
Carpeting and drapes?
Last thing we heard
was... I need to know, between her and Judy Bart Topinka, they got those three names, and it's always carpeting and drapes. What do I need to know?
Remember she was working as a hostess at a restaurant, and then she got tired of that?
She had a garage sale. Yeah. We saw
Maltese
all of her.
Did?
Yeah.
Her knickknacks that she was selling off.
All right. How many in your party? Smoking or non-smoking? I thought all restaurants were non-smoking. Not since
not
I started nine. Here.
Not here.
Wow.
Do you want a precious moment or a Hummel?
We haven't seen any pictures of Rod at all.
No, because he's got his white hair, right?
That's what they're saying, is that he's gray.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed hair dye in prison.
Yeah.
But he's been working in the kitchen, too.
Why did you say precious moments or Hummel? Did she work at a
No,
store?
She said that she was selling her knickknacks.
Oh.
Yeah, they were showing her garage sale. And
she had that stuff?
Some of those collectibles, yeah. It was so sad.
But who got these people in these situations?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
She was ripping off Cicero for 25 years, so.
How about throwing Peoria into the open? Palos Hills and Peoria. Okay, I got plenty of time to be adding countries, cities, continents. I will do that. Remind me tomorrow, Peoria and Palos Hills. A nod.
Yeah, but
Hills, not Heights.
No, but you usually do,
I usually do something international.
International and local, so you can't do that.
And by local, it could be Chicago area or the United States.
So you got to do Peru.
I can do anything I want.
Or Palos
I'm freeform.
That's right.
Baby. Do whatever. I'm writing it down now. Thank you. What did I write down a couple of weeks ago that I said, I don't want to not remember this. Well, it was.
Oops.
Well, that's why I wrote it down. It was somebody.
Good intentions.
See.
Wait a minute.
A few minutes ago, you wrote Fedora.
Fedora.
No, I wrote down Elton Slim and Baba Shivel. But there was something before that that I thought, I got to remember this. And I'm glad
it was
something
that a listener said, wasn't
was it?
And you were...
Oh, mass burning of the fetishes. Mass burning of the fetishes. That's going on in East or West Africa. Some of the stuff they go through, because they have these witch doctors and things, and some guy said, well, a few years ago, to deal with something, we had the mass burning of the fetishes. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? It's like this mope that they just killed that was working for ISIS. He's from Minnesota.
Yeah. He grew up in the Robert Taylor homes, then moved to Minnesota, and then decided, I want to go be a jihadi.
Yeah, I want to get in on that.
Well, they're hiring.
it's a growth industry.
Well, and a second person
like
from...
Like that guy with the 100-pound scrotum. You're in a growth industry.
And it's right between your legs.
A second American has died in Syria. So
fighting for ISIS?
Yeah. Yeah. They're thinking that, I want to say the number I saw this morning was something like 300 Americans are fighting for them.
Well, they said 500 Britons, 500 people from the UK.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. I'm going to roll this out now. When I refer to Bibble once in a while, he's a king-sized ventriloquist dummy.
Ouch.
Wow. I hate Scott Stantis.
That's not from him.
I know, but he started
that. That is from Eduardo. You know the radio guy.
Oh, Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Oh,
he sent me an article from The New Yorker from 1977 about Johnny Carson, and it was almost a mini book. And this was in the magazine. It was 15, 20 pages.
Wow.
small print, da da da. Yeah. And I'm reading this thing, and Johnny went to a party one night, and the writer from the New Yorker who tailed him to get this article said, as he sat down, I looked at him, he looked like a king size ventriloquist dummy. Because of his posture, and right. He had those body movements.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, got to write that down.
I thought it was going to be some sort of Ed McMahon slam.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You are correct, sir.
Yes. And Ramsey's got some weather for us, if we can play that, because he is on with me now from 3 to 3:30 this week, because Tom is busy getting that expansion hour ready.
Boy, this sounds like this is going to be a major production.
Oh, this thing's going to have bells and whistles.
They have to have a week's worth of meetings just to add another hour?
That's what they're doing. He's not on vacation. He's not in Hawaii getting sucked under by a riptide.
I wonder if it's going
to
be
Alaska.
Like it's going to be the Tom show. Maybe a good portion of this hour is going to be a lot of Tom.
What else do you need to know? Developing story. Breaking news. Every one of these newscasts starts off with a breaking news story.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, breaking news used to be the president's been shot,
right.
Explosion.
Challenger blew up.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, this was the last story we wrote is pretty much the breaking news anymore.
Some consultant has told these people, you got to start with this to grab them because they're getting ready to hit the button. So say breaking news. And then, because I fall for it, I'm thinking, what is it?
Yeah.
And then when I see it, I go, that's not a breaking news story. And then they have a developing story.
Yeah, so and what's the difference?
There isn't any. But they can't call that
developing's
one a
when they just don't have all the facts yet.
Right.
But what's breaking?
They hope that breaks into hope it develops into a breaking story.
Is that what comes first?
Breaking.
Breaking.
Oh, you grab them. Now they're doing this thing where they don't start with their Billboard opening. They have stories right out of the box.
Right, then they
to
come
tease
in.
And then they start they show the opening and then they start with the breaking story.
Are they going 100% news eventually? I mean,
who?
Channel 9.
Channel 9.
Pretty much.
There's really not much programming in between the newscasts anymore.
I think the only thing that's going to take the hour, because Rachel Ray is gone, and they would be then from 4 a.m. to 1. But I think that, Craig Ferguson is going to have a game show.
Oh, is that going to get squeezed in there?
And he's going to have a talk show. Probably WGN America.
Probably taking
at about 7 o'clock, I think. No, it's going to be on early evening.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a little screw you to CBS then, huh?
As far as
he certainly didn't want to leave then. If he's going to host another talk show, he certainly was.
The reason why he didn't get renewed when Letterman announced that he's retiring, Letterman owned his show, Letterman Show, and Ferguson's. He produced that, Worldwide Pants.
Oh, it was Worldwide Pants?
So CBS thought, now that Letterman's leaving, let's get rid of Craig, and then we'll own that hour again. And we'll own the Letterman hour and Craig Ferguson.
Night.
They wanted it back, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think Craig wanted to stop doing it. It was that.
Obviously, because
he's going to do two shows now.
I wonder if he brings back that skeleton. I wonder if he's going to...
Jeffrey?
Is a skeleton.
Yeah. Does he do his own show, or... does he just
intellectual property? Does he have to keep that?
I mean,
there?
Who knows? I was thinking too. When they were showing some clips on Letterman of Robin Williams. They did a tribute. Can anyone show the old Letterman shows from the '80s? Like those
run them as reruns
somewhere, or can't they be put on DVD? I mean, those are lost. I don't see.
I don't know if they're lost.
Well,
it's just that
no one's seeing them. They're not.
He probably will when he retires.
I mean, why aren't those out? Because those were classic.
Well, they were classic at the time, but will they stand the test of time? Is what I'm wondering.
Well, I think they. Well, they're certainly going to be.
Yeah, because look, as long as they edit down the Johnny Carson show clips, it's really fun and interesting. But you think. There's still a lot of program that they're not showing, and a lot of that program was boring.
Okay, but with Letterman, you're going to see early Pee Wee Herman. You're going to see young Bill Murray's and young Robin Williams. I mean, you're going to see
Well, he owns it. He probably will start rolling it out.
But when? When?
When do you want it?
Now.
For Christmas?
You want it now.
A box set?
Well, what are we waiting for?
Box set?
It's been sitting there for 20. I mean, he's been on CBS for 20 years, right?
By the way, Pee Wee Herman is 62 today.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is that weird?
They're releasing a boxed set of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, really?
Now that's a show worth watching again.
I'm trying to get Paul Rubens on to talk about
that. Great.
That's what I'm working on right now.
Now, that's a good guest.
Well, taxi driver Bob said you need more guests.
Taxi wants
He prefers at least four a day.
For every quarter hour.
Oh.
And I told him that Pete McMurray has locked down every guest that I could possibly want.
Yeah.
I can't get any. He's got them all. So that's a little interesting. 62. But he still looks the same.
He does.
Right.
When he gets in that getup, he still looks the same.
He does pretty much. He's kept his weight off, but, you know, he still can fit in that.
And the face, it's not aging.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he puts a ton of makeup on.
Though. All right, but still.
Oh, no, it's still Pee-wee
cover
Herman.
Things.
It's still Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, that was
it really was the
Rocky and Bullwinkle of its day. All those different double entendre things going.
As a parent of a little kid at that point, it was just awesome because I could tell what she was absorbing and what I was absorbing, and everybody was having a good time. And
well, he had all the loud noises. He had stuff moving.
Oh, the word of the day.
Yeah.
And then the cast of characters, these were some awesome actors that he had.
Well, Lawrence Fishburne was
Cowboy Curtis,
yeah.
I mean, let me address this. Text says, I sent a text 2 weeks ago that said, someone will complain about your incense. Now I think Tom Skilling will be gone from your show. I hope I'm wrong.
Uh-oh. Was this Sybil the soothsayer?
All right, you're right about the incense. And here's the deal with Tom when they go to that expanded newscast. He will not be on at 3 o'clock, but he will be on at 6.
Okay.
I talked to him the other day, and he said, I want to be on, so here's what I'm going to do. I can't do 3 because I'll be getting ready for the 4 o'clock, but I'm more than happy to come on at 6, so we'll do it at 6.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, he made arrangements to have that happen.
And I would assume then he won't have any time restrictions.
It'll be over for a while, yeah.
Yeah. At 6. He won't need to, you know, get ready.
God, that man works so hard. I mean, think about his day and what goes into those.
Well, doesn't he do? He does something on new at the noon news. So he's literally there for, what, 10 hours?
At least.
10, 12 a day.
He gets home about 1,
and he says he gets home at
1, morning.
So that's even crazier. Probably gets there at...
All right, well, again, I told him, if you take your salary, and it's substantial, but hourly, you're only making $3 an hour.
Well, maybe not for Ron. Well, Ron wants to raise it to 13, so Tom's hoping for that.
All right. Letterman might not own the NBC shows.
Yeah, I don't know who does, but then why wouldn't NBC put them out? Somebody needs to put those out.
Right now, he's a competitor, and they don't want to probably give him any more pub.
Yeah.
But he owns the last 20-some years of shows.
Yeah, but I want to see those 80s shows.
All right.
Back with the Velcro outfit and dumping things out of a tower.
There was
Do you
one,
remember that? Where they used to just drop food out of...
Yeah, the watermelons and all that.
And I used to complain about that.
That's
right. It was a big waste of food.
Remember
it was wrong.
That.
Yeah, Eddie
did
get
he really
on.
Get oh, mad he was? About that? Are
that
you
is,
kidding me?
That is sinful. Is he... You're wasting food.
Is that class?
Yes. Damn it. 312-521-8600 if you agree with me.
Schwartz, news and sports.
Oh, man. But there was one show where for the whole hour, the screen
turned 360
so
degrees.
By the halfway time, the show was upside down.
And it just kept turning.
And it kept turning until it came back. And then another time... Because then, as the show got popular in New York, you know, that show used to be on at 12:30 at night. So he said, you know, I'm hearing that a lot of people are saying that the rise of the VCR at that time, that a lot of people are taping our show. So they did a morning show so that the people then who taped it would watch it in the morning.
And it would feel like
a morning show. So he had a perky co-host, and they had mugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just Larry Bud Melman was up in the traffic copter. It was hilarious.
So when was the last time either of you watched it?
What? The
Letterman?
Show?
Yeah.
Today?
He's gotten...
No, I haven't watched it.
That's the thing. I mean,
the top 10
if anything, he's...
hasn't been strong in 15 years, probably.
Yeah.
I want to see
he
those
kept
early.
Doing stuff that didn't work when he first started it, but he would keep doing it. And I thought, doesn't somebody in this group go, hey, this isn't working, or does he not care?
And that's the thing. It feels like he's ruining his own brand because he doesn't look like he likes being there. He doesn't look like he likes people.
Well, that's the way he's always
been.
He's
never felt like
that. Well, but it was edgy. He was curmudgeonly and yet lovable. Now he's just curmudgeonly and he needs to go home and take a nap.
So now who, does he still do Pet Tricks?
Yeah.
Is that still on
Stupid
there
Human Tricks. Stupid Pet. Yeah, Pet Tricks, sure. Jim?
Oh, hi. Great show. Love you.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm a Chicago Jim from Illinois. I want to name myself and be part of the...
He's part of the whack pack.
Okay, Chicago Jim
from Illinois.
From Illinois.
Chicago Jim from Illinois, yeah. I had two quick topics that you were just talking about. I know the Letterman episodes aren't lost because I don't do this, but a friend had told me there are some of these internet sites that sort of stream things, and there's a couple of them that have it from like from the Channel 5 show or the first episode all the way up to... recently, some people just get these things and post them, and you can just stream them.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It might be illegal, but I don't know because I've never done that.
Sure, you don't.
No. That's what I've heard. And then my other topic was, I don't know if I was reading about it on the internet, but one of the great things about these or stupid things about these breaking news stories is that a lot of times they're incorrect because they'll pop up like on someone's blog, and then a couple of like internet news sites, and then the TV channels want to, you know, get it out there as fast as they can. And this is a really stupid example, but when Alice from the Brady Bunch, Andy Davis, died, there was breaking news that she died, and they said it was a suicide. But then it turns out it wasn't. She, like, fell or something.
Yeah, she fell down.
Yeah, but when it was, you know, bah, 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 breaking news, they, you know, we believe it's a suicide because someone just wrote that on the internet, and there's a whole bunch of other examples that aren't coming to me now, but I just find it ironic. It's breaking news, and we're probably going to correct it, you know, in an hour or two.
Even if she shot herself in the head, it's not breaking news.
Well,
that is not breaking news.
Too.
Breaking news, I said before, used to be the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor, our president's been shot,
exactly.
Airline crash, whatever. Big stories. Now, it's just it's anything. Anything they think is breaking news, which is almost nothing.
Again, in the future, you know, try to pay attention and see how often it's inaccurate, and that needs to be, you know, some detail needs to be corrected later. I just think that's funny.
Well, local news is having that battle that newspapers are having, where is it really necessary to wait till 10 o'clock to get the news? No, you can get it at any point. And case in point, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They came on at 9:45 to tease the 10 o'clock. Robin Williams died, and now another Hollywood icon has passed away. Something like that. And I thought, who is it? I said that to the screen. Who is it?
Who is it?
And I thought, I'm not going to wait till 10 o'clock. So my daughter was sitting there and said, look it up. Lauren Bacall?
She didn't know who she was.
No. Lauren Bacall, I mean...
Well, and that's it. When a person dies as a senior, it's never going to be that big a breaking news story. I mean, like Ann B. Davis, she was 80-some years old. At some point, it's going to happen to everybody.
Yeah.
Right, and again, I hate to repeat, but when they first broke that breaking news, they said, allegedly it's a suicide. More details later. No, it wasn't. So
allegedly it's a suicide, yeah.
Yeah. I might not be wording that correctly, but you're right. I think they're just downright afraid. There's one of the local networks, one of the weather ladies, like, she literally says, the sentence is, what are you going to do, get your weather off your phone, which you can, No, I'm going to give you the details of blah, blah, blah. Like, they're scared. I don't blame them.
And have you noticed all the newscasts, they're doing maybe 8 seconds a story. They've been told, you got to get more story content in. So they are clipping right along. They're not lingering on any of these stories, and that's what they're hoping will save them.
You know what's going to kill them is new media, and you, my friend, are already there. You're already ahead. You got off that ship, and bless you. God bless you for it. So,
baby,
ship happens.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Well, I'll stop in. I love the show, and hi, Baba Shivel. I just like the new.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
It's Chicago Jim from Illinois. Oh, you know what today is? Show 50.
Show 50.
Show 50.
Clipped off 50 of these little mothers.
Yep.
Did you have a celebration? Was there food brought in?
Or taken out very quickly?
Yeah.
Based on your Letterman comments, I don't think you get him. His audience, fans, and brand are still strong and right where he wants them.
Then why is he in third place and retiring?
He's not part of the conversation. There used to be, hey, did you see Letterman last night? Yeah. When's the last time you heard that?
Not even on the radar screen. Except for this Robin Williams tribute. That was one of the few times I've seen on the internet, like on a Yahoo news feed, where they referenced his show. Because it's usually the Tonight Show and Kimmel or whoever. But this was, Letterman, because he knew him so well.
The moments that he really got some kind of traction, when he announced that he was stooping the intern.
Yeah.
And when that guy broke into his house and... Not the guy, the girl that kept breaking in his house, and then she put her head on a railroad track.
But then there was a conspiracy, too. Remember
the guy tried to extort him.
Yeah.
That was part of the intern thing.
Yeah.
But when he came on and started talking about it, you didn't know if it was a bit.
No.
I got to tell you, you may have heard some things.
People started laughing initially.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard to believe that I would be able to get anybody, but I did. And that was a moment, but then... It goes right back into that kind of...
He just got angry after his heart attack.
The heart attack, though, was a big deal, too, though.
Yeah, but that's...
But when he returned, there was like a whole different energy, and he just didn't seem like he was having fun anymore. And then he had the kid... Was the kid after that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And there was some sort of weird chemistry about that too. He didn't seem like he was really thrilled, and yet he talked about it being the most important thing in his life.
Did he ever marry the
yeah?
Oh, he is married. He is married, because for a long time they were not married.
All right, moving on. A Portland woman said she found a sharp metal blade in a pizza that was delivered to her home. Connie Olson said employees didn't believe her when she called to tell them what happened. Nobody should order a pizza and end up with a razor blade in it and be hung up on by the store.
That's a fair statement.
When I told them, they said, it didn't come from our store. Do you just want a free pizza? A district manager said later on, the blade broke off a tomato slicer and that other models of that machine have had similar problems on occasion. Oh. Stores have told employees to check the equipment after they use or wash it to make sure there are no missing parts.
Oh, my goodness. So in other words... This thing...
Yeah, just by accident, the thing broke apart and ended up in the za.
So no one even got cut when they were laying out the tomatoes.
It's amazing that more of these things don't happen.
When you consider how many people are working on things and passing them along.
The equipment. We got a pop once from a fast food place, and the spigot from the pop dispenser was in the bottom of the glass. Oh. Whoopsie.
Wow. I would have thought that they cut those tomatoes by hand. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, don't order from this place.
Yeah.
Good news, it's in Portland, so
okay,
chances
worry.
Are you won't have to worry about it.
I would think that I want my tomatoes
hand sliced.
Yeah, don't you think?
No.
Why? With the fresh ingredients, I would assume that includes preparation.
Hey, I didn't get a chance to talk about that story where the passengers on that plane got into it and they landed at Chicago to dump them off because the guy put that clip in the back
knee
of
defender.
Knee defender.
Yeah, that seat so that woman couldn't lean back, and they got into it, and then they decided, okay, we're going to take you off the plane. They weren't charged with anything.
No arrest.
But they were going from, New Jersey to Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Newark. Stopped in Chicago. And you can't come to some agreement that would settle all that so you don't have to inconvenience all these other people.
I mean, that's 45 minutes. It's already got to be a four-hour flight.
It was 2 hours late.
2 hours late.
It was over 2 hours late when they finally got to Denver.
I mean, come on.
And that's at that point, I want somebody charged. If I have to go wheels down in Chicago and go through all this hassle for these two.
Why didn't they tell him, okay, take the clip out, or... There's going to be trouble here. We're going to press charges or whatever. I mean, the fact that they just threw him off the plane.
I mean, couldn't they separate them then? Okay, look. Would somebody? Here's our option.
Right.
We're going to have to land the plane.
They change seats,
or somebody changes seats.
And it seems like changing seats would be the simplest answer here. Let him sit in front of some little kid
and let them stew for an hour and a half. But I want to get to my destination.
I want to get to Denver.
I mean, that's crazy.
I got to buy some marijuana.
I mean, at least. If this wasn't an arrestable offense, then why are we diverting the plane?
Well, and if not arrestable, couldn't they just, like, charge them a couple thousand apiece for the gas and the inconvenience?
Why would they divert the flight just to take them off the flight? I know it's an inconvenience. They got to rebook and all that. What is the real consequence outside of that?
Nothing. What happened to these people? Nothing. Did they even get in trouble?
It should be like an airplane. At least every passenger gets to slap them as they, as they get off the plane.
Well, now, could you imagine, though? So there had to be a point now where they announced, we are landing in Chicago. Now, could you imagine how angry everybody
or
on
do
that
they
plane?
Announce it? I mean, if they're worried that a fight's going to break loose,
so
I
what, do you
think...
just land in Chicago and don't tell anybody?
That doesn't look like Denver.
where are the mountains? You can't just land in Chicago without telling me.
That isn't, what's their airport name in Denver?
Mile High, right?
No, I think there's a name associated with the airport. Oh. The Mile High Airport? Well. It might be, but I thought it had a name. No, I've been there.
Denver International.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Used to be an airport in Denver called Stapleton. But
yeah,
closed
Stapleton.
When they opened,
the new one is Mile High?
No, the new one is just Denver International.
Denver International.
It's not like Hartsfield. That's the one in it.
So it's Dix? D-I-X?
D-I-A.
Flying into Dix?
D-I-A, he said.
D-I-A?
International.
And it should be D-I-X if you're going to go that way. I'm going to try to get the Jackie Robinson West name on that one then. I'm going to get these guys an airport.
Some airport has to change its name.
Come on.
It should be the Denver Official Airport, and you'd just be DOA.
Oh, nice. We're going to be landing
flying
in DOA.
Into DOA.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but that's not right that they diverted that plane if these people did not get even a fine.
Not to mention
they wouldn't just get yelled at.
Whatever happened to grown-ups?
These were 47 and 48-year-olds. These were not kids.
And then for her to throw a glass of water at him doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense.
The FAA. I'm Franklin McCormick. It's the Maestro Brow.
Maestro Brow.
Maestro. Call me the Maestro.
The Maestro.
I'm the Maestro. The Maestro Bro.
The Maestro Bro.
It's my new beer. The Maestro Bro.
Maestro Bro.
The FAA can impose a civil fine of up to $25,000 for passengers who are unruly. In this case, no arrest was made.
That's what I mean. But this was, you took two, it's already a long flight. You added 2 hours to my flight, and you couldn't handle these people? That's unacceptable.
A flight attendant asked him to remove the device. He refused. The woman then stood up, turned around, and threw a cup of water at him.
Okay, so
that's
now
when United decided to land in Chicago. The passengers were not allowed to continue to Denver. Not on United, but did they put a check mark next to their name? They can't get on any flight? Is that their punishment?
This, to me, sounds...
Then they rented a car together and went on a wacky cross-country trip.
All I have to say is this may have, if this whole water incident better have happened over Indiana. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, so it just happened. There's a ruckus, and they said, you know what? Bring the plane down in Chicago. We're 5 minutes away. Because if it happened over Pennsylvania, and I'm still flying, why am I...
No, they need to taser the two.
Yeah.
And knock them out or something and continue
and just
on.
Just keep going.
They've got zip ties for this sort of
Where's
thing.
Where's the air marshal?
Because if
Do we even have those anymore?
I don't even know. They're out there,
but they can't tell me.
I want to know. That's pretty much gone by the wayside. You never hear about them.
Well, this, to me, just sounds crazy. If you don't even slap these people with a fine, then why are you landing this plane unless it was really close to Chicago to say, you know what, these guys are causing a thing, we're right here, let's put the plane down, get them off, and move on.
The other crazy is that it's 2014 and those seats still recline.
Oh, I know.
Why?
You don't need that
because
much room.
Because, first of all, the seats are so close together anymore. They should be all set at a slightly less than 90-degree angle.
Yeah, not lazy boy recliner.
Right.
This was in their economy plus, where they had 4 inches of extra space.
Yeah, these people had 4 extra inches, and they were still complaining.
Well, and his gripe was that he wanted to have the tray down so he could work on his computer.
Right, and she must have been going
all
the
way back. But the tray still comes down when people are leaned back, don't they?
Yeah, but it must have been in his gut, maybe. You know, I mean,
he was trying to use his computer.
Right. So when she leans back, then his tray table is hitting him in the stomach, probably.
Okay.
That's what he's complaining
about.
Don't
use the computer. Well, I mean, take a nap.
Well, somebody needs...
Change seats.
Yeah, change
Call
seats.
Call it a day.
Yeah, to have landed a plane and put that many people out, inconvenienced that many people and made them 2 hours late over two immature people.
I like your idea, Gary. Everybody gets to slap them.
Yeah, like
we need
airplane.
More of that.
So what do they do? Just take those two people off then?
Yeah.
That's what they did. The police
other people
were waiting.
Stayed, the other people stayed on the plane.
Yeah, I'm sure they were only if you're on the plane, 2 hours late, so they probably just threw them off, went right back out, and took off.
Yeah. Still.
Idiots.
Damn people. That's why I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Needs them.
We need private jets.
Cost of fuel to land and retake off is tens of thousands of dollars, too. There's a...
See, that's what I assumed, is that if nothing else, they would just fine them.
How could they not
for the inconvenience?
Any kind of a slap on the wrist whatsoever.
I don't know.
What, so they got afraid? So then they got off the plane, and a cop scared them? And then what?
They were given a stern talking to
them. They weren't allowed to fly out, so I don't know how long that lasts.
That's a... What, speaking of airlines, 14-hour drive, 16 hours.
A Denver family is angry at an airline they say lost their diabetic and slightly forgetful mother. That sounds like a nice premise for a sitcom. All right, here's the pitch. It's a it's a woman who's diabetic and slightly forgetful. It's hilarious.
And a wacky neighbor.
The airline, Southwest, admits it could have handled the situation better. The recent trip to the East Coast for Alice Vaticano to visit her daughter turned into a bit of a marathon. Her daughter took her to the Newark airport, where a skycap promised to wheel her directly to her gate. Her daughter didn't obtain clearance to go to the concourse with her, but Vaticano got parked and forgotten.
Oh. Oh,
she pushed me there and left me.
Oh.
They robbed from me. I was just sitting all day in a wheelchair.
Alice doesn't fly here anymore.
She missed her flight, and her other daughter in Denver went into a panic mode when she didn't see her mom getting off the plane at Denver International Airport, Dix.
Again. Oh, no kidding. Especially, now did she even have her medication? If she's sitting in a...
What she didn't have was a cell phone, which...
The woman said she didn't even know where she was. And wasn't provided any food.
I'm talking about her sugar.
Well... Didn't anybody notice her sitting there for hours?
Doesn't she say something?
Well, she was confused.
Yeah, but even if you're confused, don't you, most of the time, don't you yell? Hey!
Hey!
What's going on here?
Right, I'm confused.
Look
right.
at me!
In the same way, I never understood parents who could put their kids on airplanes. I know sometimes when mom lives in one state and dad lives in another, it's got to be done, but... Whenever I've seen kids getting on the plane with just that little thing around their neck, like their baggage claim, it seems like a problem waiting to happen.
Many times, little Jimmy goes into a plane by himself.
Right.
And then
that's bad.
These sick homosexuals are there.
All right, that's a reference, because if you're just joining the program, you're going to go, what the hell? Earlier in the show, Leslie found this... instructional film from 1961 about being careful of homosexuals, and it was as if it were from 100 years ago.
The name was Boys Beware.
And they were treating homosexuality like it was a disease.
Yeah. And
they call it a mental illness.
Yeah, I played that.
He is sick.
And that's what Baba Shivel's referring to.
That's a callback. It's a comedic callback.
Wow, you know all the terms.
Ah, sure.
You've been hanging out with some stand-up comics.
Oh, sure. I've been downstairs.
Not hard to do.
I knocked into about four of them on the way up here.
I know. The green room is like that room in back of Shakey's.
Yeah.
Half of them live there.
No, it's cool, though, in the green room, to make them feel at home, they put a brick wall up.
Yeah.
There used
and
to
a
be
dirty couch.
Yeah.
A dirty couch upstairs at the Zanies on Well Street that... every comedian talked about.
That's here now.
Dirty couch.
Yeah, they brought
it
over.
Yeah, I think it is here.
Rick Geezer just brought it over.
Rick Geezer is a producer here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he also does PR for
Zanies. He books comics at Zanies, so he's always here. So he'll say, hey, Jonathan Dulright is going to be in town at Zanies. Do you want to book him on your show? And half the time he hits pay dirt.
Oh, yeah. Someone grabs him.
That wheelchair should have some kind of light that if somebody's sitting on it...
Oh, like a...
Beedo,
if
Beedo.
If nobody gets out of the seat
in 5 minutes.
15 minutes.
Or if it doesn't move, if the wheels don't move in 15 minutes, somebody needs to know.
You also have to tip the sky cap really well. And I bet you she gets from point to point without any problem. That it always works for luggage.
I can't believe you can't get some kind of pass, voucher, whatever, to take her to the gate.
I know.
Especially if she's compromised physically. You think they want you to do it.
Yes, I'd like to have an air marshal call in, and let's talk about these airline situations.
So when they were flagging to ORD...
Yes. I know a lot of state troopers, but I don't know any air marshals. Yes!
We will not give your identity out.
I will scramble your voice. That was a text request. Eddie Meyer calling for an air marshal. Thank you. Love the suggestions. Somebody also suggested playing Yakety Sax under this woman's mother story.
That's just mean.
All right.
Actually, Mike, can you take my mom to the thing?
Here, pull up Yakety Sax because I'm going to read some stuff that won't be as cruel as you think.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
2, 3.
The airline says a processing error at check-in did not alert employees at the gate to her special need, which is her wheelchair. Southwest gave her two $100 vouchers for future travel. The family says it hopes all airlines will take their responsibility to elderly and handicapped passengers more seriously. I want answers. What the heck happened, Donna said. The Southwest spokesperson said the Skycaps in Newark are not actual airline employees. Oh. They are just workers who are assigned to help individual airlines.
Nice.
Southwest released the following statement regarding the incident. We've researched the details of this Denver customer's travel and can verify that she checked in for her flight at Newark Liberty International 2 hours prior to her scheduled departure.
She had a tag on her wrist.
But a processing error in that check-in process did not alert our employees at the gate to her special need, wheelchair, in boarding the aircraft.
And then we sang some songs and told some jokes.
And she got a free deck of cards. And they played
you can't even get a free deck of cards.
The pilot came out and played a harmonica for her. Because that's what we do at Southwest. We can make anything look better.
Hey, we gave her peanuts.
I was talking about that earlier.
Her bags were free, though.
Yeah?
She didn't get there. But
you look at these people in their 80s that have health issues, and you think, this is where we're all heading? I mean, it's sad because there, but for the grace of God, goes your mother or us in a number of years.
I'm trying to think of, like, what, you know, in your head, I think, well, what would be a good age to go?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, like, when, like, do you know an 85-year-old? Well, your mom is 89, right?
She's in her late 80s.
Yeah, and your mother-in-law, and they're in their late 80s, and they're still very sharp, right?
Right, they both drive and everything, but get on the phone. What happened?
Oh, really?
Well, I went to the emergency room.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And you got a dozen of those things every year.
Really? So that's an age, like, where's the age where you are, because I saw my mom really decline fast from, say, 80, when I found out how old she was, 83 to 85, it was very quick.
That's what I'm thinking.
By 83, she was still taking buses and going to events and speaking.
And you can find a 100-year-old. That guy is 101. He's still going to work that I talked about.
Some 103-year-old just did the ice bucket challenge. And I thought, what the heck kind of family member?
But most of them are on that Smucker's jar that, what's his name, highlights every morning. look at her. She's 106. Doesn't she look good? No, she looks like she's in the jar of jam.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what's a good age where you're not going to be a burden? You still have your wits. And you could sort of go off with a little dignity.
113.
Really? Wow.
And I have a little Asian lady who takes care of me all the time. I'm one of those people who make sure that I'm not dribbling or anything. Because I know it's not going to be my daughter because she as much as said so.
So you want to live as long as you can?
Absolutely.
Really? Even if you were just laying in a bed?
Do I have, like, cool virtual computer access? True. Absolutely.
Here's a text. Lost mother, they won't tell you her flight status. Did she get on the flight? Can't tell you. Just went through it. That's weird.
Wow. Oh, but could you imagine? So now you're waiting at the gate.
Oh, my gosh.
Your mom doesn't come off the flight, and then you go to ask them, and they don't tell you anything?
And meanwhile, your relative on the other side has said, no, we checked her in right on time.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they're carrying two people out like luggage because they threw water at each other.
Yeah.
They go by.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to start taking trains.
I still like a plane.
I kind of want to take one of those super long, like, fabulous train rides.
Right, just have the best nap of your life on the clickety-clack.
Yeah.
Clickety-clack. And then you're off.
I want food served to me on actual plates with metal silverware.
But, you that's not cheap, though. Trains are not cheap.
No.
I'm going to have Johnny from Michigan book all my passage.
He seems to do pretty well.
He gets all the good discounts.
Gary, what hostel are you staying at?
There's a hostel.
Hey, we made up.
Can't even say hostel.
No.
Oh.
Not Ursula hostel.
Can't even say Ursula.
Hostel.
Oh, Ursula, you can do.
The White House.
Harry Truman. FDR.
Paisanos. Lou Malnati's.
Shakata.
80 is a good age to go. You've worked and you've seen what you want to see.
Yeah, 80. I mean, I would say maybe in the next 30 years, given health and medical technology. Maybe 85 to 90, we would still be in an area where we're still okay. But
if there's no quality of life.
No, I would not want that.
How do you define quality of life?
Well,
you like
if someone puts a party hat on you and gives you a cake once in a while.
Yeah, a little sparkler and takes
not
a picture of you.
Lying on a lazy boy while Wheel of Fortune is up all the way in the nursing home.
Yeah. Although, like I say, you know...
Is it in a bingo hall?
If I had my Elton CDs, I'd be all right.
Yeah, sure you would.
My mom had her books on tape, and she was just happy as a clam from breakfast all the way through bedtime.
I'll probably know the words to Elton songs longer than I'll know my name. You know what I mean?
No, that's something. That's a goal.
I'm a rocket man. What's your name? I'm a rocket man.
Pack my bags last night.
And I can't find them. And I can't find them. Thursday night's all right for fighting.
I have to tell the story then, because when you said that, my aunt was in a healthcare facility, mostly older people.
Well, that's usually there.
And she had colon surgery, so she had the bag. And they would have let her go home, but she didn't know how to change the bag properly. So I'm sitting in the cafeteria with her, and she's telling me about this, and there's a guy in a wheelchair sitting next to her eating applesauce or whatever. And she kept saying, I don't want to learn how to change this bag. I don't know if I'll be able to learn. I kept going back and forth. After about 10 minutes, this guy who appeared to be too out of it to know what we're talking about, he goes, stick it in, and you're done. Take a tube, stick it in, and you're done. And he kept repeating that for the colostomy bag. Stick it in, and you're done. Stick it in, and you're done. I'm like, oh, geez.
He said that for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was his mantra.
And I looked around, and I had that same reaction. There's no way. Please, put a pillow over my head.
Well, I remember.
But you don't realize it. I mean.
You'd think.
See, I don't think you do.
I think as long as you have that blessed ignorance. Every age is a good age.
Because, like, my mom, when she broke her hip, she went to a rehab facility, which is basically a nursing home with the rehab. And so when I would visit her there, she was as happy as a clam. She wasn't screaming to take me home. She was happy to come home. But while she was there, she wasn't like, when am I getting out of here? She was like, okay.
Just make the best of it.
Here's my routine.
Humans are one of the most adaptable animals on the planet, and that's what you do. You just keep adapting to whatever happens.
Keep a .fm next to your bed, and you'll be fine. Thank you.
There you go.
Replay it at 7, and then get the podcast the next day.
And if you have a couple of $100, you just hire somebody to put the pillow over your head.
Nice. Well, we've covered euthanasia.
I mean, somebody stole my dad's teeth in the nursing home. Came in one day, and he's like, there's... You know, it was all gums.
They didn't steal it. His teeth were misplaced. That lady's mother.
Another patient came in and took his teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
Guy named Sharky. Yeah. He have it like an extra set.
Yeah, I'm sure they fit really well.
Because we said to the nurse, we're like, you know, what happened to his teeth? And she's like, well, we do have a lot of, wanderers who come in and
steal teeth.
You know, if you're out of your room, they come around.
Hey, these look nice. She stole from me.
She stole from me.
What kind of clip joint you running here?
Put a tube in it and
push it in.
Hey,
stick it in.
You want to change my diaper? Yeah.
Okay.
Are you the boyfriend? She steals from me.
There's a story about a woman who's been getting on planes without a ticket.
How's that even possible? I'm so glad we pay how much for that TSA coverage. Yeah.
She did it several times, and here, Phoenix, a woman accused of trying to sneak aboard multiple flights without a ticket and sentenced to jail for returning to a Los Angeles airport in violation of her probation, was arrested yesterday after being recognized loitering at a Phoenix airport. They're requesting a mental health evaluation. This woman was taken into custody near baggage claim at Phoenix Sky Harbor International, PSIX.
Is that what it is?
No. Sky Harbor International. So she got on several. I don't know how she got on without the tickets, but she did.
She seems to be doing all right. Why is she?
And they told her, don't go back to any airports. And the next day.
There she is.
She's a modern-day hobo.
She made previous attempts to sneak aboard flights at other airports.
How the heck can you sneak on a flight? Most flights today arrested are all full.
August 4th for taking a Southwest Airlines flight from San Jose to Los Angeles without a ticket.
Man.
How do her boarding status was discovered once the plane landed.
How the heck?
I don't.
I mean, everybody gets that. You go in and you give the person the ticket. How does that happen?
Right at the gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Mineta San Jose International Airport, MSJIX, Hartman tried to at least three times get to a plane before she finally went past a security screener who was busy checking a family's documents. So she does that thing. Well, how mentally unstable can she be if she got
that's
that figured
what I'm saying.
Out?
I don't think she's that off her rocker there. She knows what she's doing.
She was sentenced to 2 years probation, and then the next day was back at the airport.
How many frequent file mirrors does she have? It's a free seat, isn't it?
That's always frightening when you hear about all this
security,
and then I think I'll just walk right on.
I mean, for her to have done this almost like a serial, you know,
seat
stealer.
Well, and she's probably one of those people who is cool as a cucumber, and just everybody ignores you then, and you can go through all sorts of doors and gates if
she's obviously looking,
look like you belong there.
And she's looking for the vulnerable times. So somebody's helping somebody, then she darts in. You have to be
like that raccoon that followed that cat in. That woman started petting the raccoon. I got to look for raccoons on the plane.
Just be subtle.
Because these raccoons, they know.
They know.
They know what a way to follow. Is that your raccoon, sir? What? No, I didn't bring a raccoon. All right, I think that's about it.
That was 50. Put it in the book.
Show 50. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it, and I'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
So does that mean that show 100 will be around Christmas?
Oh, wait a minute. I got a minute. Do you have that Jim Ramsey piece from today? I usually replay that, and I didn't do that, and I got about a minute here. So if you can fire it off there, Reefer.
Imagine you get off the bus at the Greyhound station in downtown Chicago. It's your first time out of Podunk, USA. And you are anxious to see what a big city is like. You head out of the bus station to grab a cab to your hotel. As soon as you walk out, someone approaches you and asks if you want to ride a pink mustache. You heard things like this could happen in a city like Chicago, but you can't believe it happened so fast. But you are soon informed that the pink mustache is a car service. You decline and hop into a cab, like you've seen on TV shows and in the movies. After you drop your bags at the hotel, you head out to explore the city. Look at all the tall buildings. Shut the front door, look at those gas prices. They're $1 more a gallon than Podunk. Holy crap, a pack of cigarettes is $12. You can buy a room full of furniture in Podunk for $12. Several blocks from the hotel, someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, I ran out of gas and I don't have any cash. Can you help a guy out?" Where you come from, people are always helping each other. Once a neighbor's pigs got loose during a lightning storm, and you ran out and helped him gather up his little porkers. It's in your DNA. Would a 20 be enough to help you out, my good man? Yeah, 20 would do it, Chief. Thanks. You're great. God bless you. After several hours, you head back to your hotel room and find out your room has been infested by bed bugs. Welcome to the city Carl Sandburg called a sewer of crime, a swamp of sin.
Thank you, Jim. He's back tomorrow at 3 for Tom. And thank you for listening. And the whole show repeats itself now. Good night.